I shared with you about that day. Oh, I shared parts with you about that day that I cried to God to show me what He saw when He looked in my heart. And then I do not have time to take you through the different rooms, and you wouldn't want to go through all of them, and I wouldn't want you to. But we went through all the different areas of my life at that point in time. Then, I mean, here, I had entered this time thinking, you know, I'm really a fine Christian. I never thought of myself being self-righteous because I didn't feel a self-righteous attitude. But, maybe just to kind of give you an idea, up to this time, when we'd start to have revival, you know, the meetings every year that we call revival, Peter would always say, if you want revival, draw a circle in the floor, step in that floor, confess all your sins, and you can have revival if nobody else does. So I'd make my little circle and I'd step into it. It never took me very long to confess all my sins. You see, I worked so hard at not doing those that I didn't have a bit of trouble with flirting with the deacons or shoplifting or bad things. But that was what I saw. Now, this is a totally different picture because God shown me what He sees. And I'm devastated. I mean, this list has gone on and gotten uglier and worse. And I mean, it was like, is there any end to this? But right in the middle of that kind of thinking, the Lord reminded me of 1 John 1:9. And I said, well, that's how you tell people to become Christians, because that's the verse that says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Well, I got this little nudge to check into that a little further and see who it was really written to. And it was really written to Christians, because our loving Father knew that we would not only need to come to the cross to receive initial forgiveness and cleansing and His life planted in our lives, but along the way, we would need His forgiveness again and again. And His provision covered all those things. So as I confessed and agreed with Him that day, free of excuses, but just agreed with Him, He forgave me and He cleansed me. It was so sweet because, I mean, I was really hurting, and He gave me this little picture that as women you'd appreciate. He says, Johnny, we've been house cleaning. We've been getting in all the corners and just getting all the crud, and we've got all that stuff in a pile now. Now, when I forgive you, that's like getting rid of the trash. But when trash has been there for a while, there's always stains. And He says, Johnny, I'm not only getting rid of the trash, but I'll scrub those stains away. It'll be as if they've never been a part of your life. I needed that. And that's what He gave me. But I remember the next morning, I said, oh, Father, I really appreciate what You did for me yesterday. I really appreciate it. It was like a brand new beginning. It was like the load was lifted and everything was clean and shiny, you know. I said, but I just wonder how long it'll be before I'll be right back here, maybe even recovering from a nervous breakdown again. Who knows? Because I really did the best that I knew. What's going to make the difference? And I was recuperating at my mother-in-law's, as I told you, and I'm still there. And she said to me one morning, as I was getting stronger and feeling better, she said, how would you like to go to a Bible conference with me today? And well, I was ready to go. You know, I've been in long enough, and I wanted to go. And it was at that Bible conference God gave the plus side of this issue. What I've been talking about is getting rid of the negative side, and that is critical. We need to deal with those things He shows us in our life. But that morning, I heard something that I'd never understood that way before. That man said, did you realize when you invited Christ into your life, all of Him came in? And then he went on to say things like, when He came inside of you, He didn't leave any qualities or characteristics outside just because He was coming in you. No, all of Him came in. And then he went on and he said, you know, the truth is you really don't need to pray for more peace. Because if you invited Christ into your life, He has all the peace you'll ever need. And he went on and on. You'll never really need to pay for more wisdom and, you know, all those wonderful things that I needed desperately. And I thought, well, now I don't understand this. I said, Lord, if that, what that man's saying is true, would you teach me to live like that? Because all of a sudden I realized if what he was saying was true, two things. One, I really liked that there'd be nothing come into my life anymore that he couldn't handle. Now, I like that. But I also knew something else, and I was a little hesitant at embracing this, and that was, if that was true, there went all my excuses right down the drain. I couldn't blame it on my upbringing. I couldn't blame it on my lack of gifting. I realized there were some of those weaknesses or inabilities or whatever that I just kind of was more comfortable hiding behind. But if that is true, if Christ comes, when he comes to live inside of you, all of him comes in, there go all our excuses. Well, I just did pray that prayer. Lord, if that is true, would you teach me to live that way? And let me just throw this in for good measure. That is a good prayer. I know it was born in the heart of God. Because you see, many times since, when I've been confronted or faced with new issues, new things I've never considered before, I found out that if I will let him give him the opportunity to either prove it or disprove it, rather than me trying to figure it out, trying to fit it into my little box. If I will give him the prerogative to lead one way or another, He will do that. So I decided he could either disprove it or prove it. I was open. Well, I promptly forgot the prayer and went back home as I got stronger and so forth and got into ministry again, teaching Sunday school. And it was one morning getting ready for Sunday school with those same two little children that I had that things just went haywire down. I mean, it was one of those mornings. If you've got two little children, you know what I'm talking about. If you've forgotten, let me remind you. You don't just put their clothes on and walk out the door. No, about the time I got Richard ready and turned to dress Susan, he'd lost the shoe. Well, we found his shoe and she popped a button. We found the pen and, you know, it just got worse and worse. It was a mess. And I found myself getting all uptight inside. Well, you know what I did? I did what I found out as I watched myself from there on. I found out I often did. When I would start to react wrong, my next thought was a justifiable reason for doing it. So what I did was, I just cushioned myself from conviction before it ever got free to convict me. Because, you know, I said, now, Johnny, you're a Sunday school teacher. You can't go blundering in late. God might be speaking to somebody and you'd be responsible for them not hearing this morning. So that made it all right for me to get uptight with the kids, didn't it? I mean, I had a noble cause that I was after. If I'd listened, I'd have probably heard, Johnny, you know, the Lord must wonder at our thinking. But anyway, so the next thing I knew, though, there was no excuse, because before I knew, I was screaming out at the children. I had gotten so uptight getting ready for Sunday school so I could go teach my lesson. And when I did that, I'm not usually a screamer, and it just made me sick in the pit of my stomach. And I remember saying, this is so vivid, I can still see the kitchen counter as I leaned over on it. I said, oh God, just look at the mess I made this morning. Just look at this mess. Now, that preacher said that when I invited you into my life, all of you came in. I need to make an experiment this morning. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to step aside and I'm going to turn you loose and I'd like to see you straighten out the mess I made. I figured if he is God Almighty, this certainly isn't too big for him. Really, you know? And he was so pleased that I got out of the way and turned him loose. I can remember coming home from church that day. My heart was singing. And I can remember saying, oh, Lord, that experiment worked so good. I can't wait to make some more. And that's what I began doing. Just experimenting in the little, when I'd lose my peace, when I'd be frustrated and didn't know what in the world to do. But what I started with were the things that threw me the most often. You know, there are just a few things that you can see them coming down the road at you. Those things that you declare you'll never do again. You'll never, ever do that again. And before you know it, you're splattered all over the floor. Well, those were the ones I started with. And it just made good sense to me. Okay? If bitterness and fear, those were the two we were primarily dealing with at that time in my life, if those were the two whips that drove you to the place you were, then that's a good place to start, with the bitterness and the fear, to learn how to release him. Because I found out one day I was studying for a lesson, and there in my, no, it was in a quiet time, and I was reading Romans 6. I got so excited because where it said that we are to die to ourselves and that the one living inside of us is the resurrected Christ, I realized, the Lord said, see, that's what happened that morning. When you stepped aside, you died to your way of handling that situation. See, it's just that, I mean, it's not too complicated. You choose against yourself in favor of God. Choose to die. And this is the way I began understanding that. And he said, when you turn me loose, all what you really did was just turn loose the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus that was in there all the time. Well, some people, you know, will say, well, what are you doing, letting yourself off the hook? Because a lot of people have come, faced, or heard this particular truth, and it's almost like, whoo, I don't have to do anything anymore, and they get over in a rocking chair and go to rocking. And that's the last time you see them. You know, from super activity to nothing. That's not what that means at all. No, when we lay down our way of handling an issue and release the resurrected life of the Lord, in his wisdom and with his love, he leads us what to do, and we do it in his strength. It's no big mystery. It's very simple. We just get out of the way and turn him loose. That's what I began doing. And it was really neat. I remember saying, now, Lord, I want to learn how to do this. I want to learn how to let you respond in this. But I'm living in the same house with the same man. Now, I want to see how you'd respond to the things that go on around here. Now, I want you girls to know that my husband encourages me to share all that I've said. And I'll tell you something else. I wouldn't trade places with any one of you for $1 million. Or for anything. But I will tell you this, God's worked a lot in both of us. But, as a matter of fact, I mean, we might as well be practically helpful. That seems to be what I need to do. I'd hear the car coming up the driveway at night, and I remember several times that, okay, Lord, I'm getting out of the way, and I'm going to turn you loose. I'm not ready for this tonight. You're going to have to love him through me. And he began putting the neatest little things in my head, you know. And if I dared do them, it was neat. And then a lot of times I would, well, I didn't want to do that. And, you know, something. Well, it wouldn't be our best evening. Just put it mildly. But it's so wonderful how when we really get, rather than focused on ourselves, get focused on the one living inside of us. I had to ask the Lord to make me continually conscious of the fact that He was there all the time. I didn't have to call on Him to come be with me. Because wherever I was, He was already there. Because I was there. But I was not, I found that I was not really tuned in to that. I wasn't living in that awareness unless I was having a problem. Or I was emotionally, you know, just really into devotions or something. Just highlights. Points of need or points of real blessing. But just the continual awareness of Him being there, I really didn't know much about that. And I realized I'd better learn, get tuned in to that if I was going to walk in peace. And if I was going to let Him, release Him in our home. It's really neat, just the simple little ways that God teaches us these things. Again, at the dish, at the sink, washing dishes one day, while I was washing dishes, I was busy organizing my prayer time. I was getting it all figured out when I had time to pray, how I was going to make sure I included everything and got it all organized. You know, that way I wouldn't be just shooting in the air and wouldn't waste God's time or mine. So while I was standing there washing dishes and organizing my prayer time, the Lord said, "Well, why don't you just talk to me about it right now?" I mean, what's this business of organizing your prayer time when I'm right here, right now? You know? And this helped me. And just a lot of little practical things. Like I began saying, when the phone had rang, this was one of the things I taught myself to say so I would be more aware. I'd say, "Now, Lord, I don't know who that is on that telephone, but You know. And when I get there, I want You to either show me what to say that will minister or show me how very kindly to cut it off. Because I don't want to waste their time this morning." So I was making myself more conscious of the one that lived inside of me. And it was just a little practical way of releasing Him in the little. And how many hours I spent on the phone needlessly with somebody. And I called myself ministering, but we weren't any further down the road 2 hours later than we were when we started. We were just still talking about the same old stuff with the same old answers that I'd given her a dozen times. Well, now, if He lived inside of me, that must mean that in His love, He can guide not only me what to say if it really is a ministry time, or He can show me how, without being offensive, cut this thing off. I mean, it does take so much of the stress out of life in the practical little nitty-gritties. Did you know? I mean, he's there anyway. Why not let him in? One day he told me, he said, Johnny, I want a companionship relationship. I want to be in on everything that happens to you. I love you. And then, about that time, I got hold of a book that was teaching about the fact that God is love. And since God is love, love has to have an object to love that will return that love. That's what we're doing here in the first place. Love designed us with the capacity to receive His love and to return His love. And being love, He had to have that because, you know, love needs love to be satisfied. So that really elevated even to a greater degree God's plan and design for me. So if His love, and He wants an object to love that will love Him in return, being a companion is a part of that. And that's a wrong picture when I draw Him off over there, because He's right in there. But we need to get we need to really know that. From the time we get up in the morning until we go to bed at night, we don't just call on God to come be our errand boy. He's our friend. He's our companion. That's what love wants. Love, which is God, love wants an intimate companionship with me. That just about blew me away when the first time that ever entered my thinking. Now, that's why He designed you. There is nobody in the whole world that can love God in just the way you can. You're the only one that will satisfy that need. He designed you to meet a particular need He has for love that only you can give Him. Because He designed you. Well, I'm getting sidetracked, but I want you to know that, because it gives a whole different perspective on life. You don't do devotions. You meet with the Lord in the morning. And you don't give Him your want list. You want Him involved in the things that you're concerned about. And you believe He'll make a difference. So you talk to Him about them. And you listen so He can give you direction what to do if He wants you to do anything. You don't spend your prayer time telling Him what you figured out needs to be done. I'm telling you, the good news is better than I ever realized. And the more I understand, it just gets better and better. Okay, now. So what I want to just end this session with is, I want you to realize that when you invited Christ into your life, All of him came in, and that is best stated to me, one of my favorite places in Colossians 2, 9 and 10. I'm going to repeat that, and then we'll close for this session. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. It's interesting. When you get hold of a new truth, it just shows up everywhere, and you find out it's really not new at all. It's been there all the time. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." Now what's that says? Saying, in him all the fullness of deity dwells. What's deity? All of God dwells in Christ Jesus. That's what that says. And I could just see God pouring himself into that man, Christ Jesus. And then one day I invited that man into my life. Well, when he came in, he was all of deity. So who came in? When I invited Christ into my life, who came in? All of God. Now that is mind-boggling. But that's all right. It doesn't make it any less true. Now, then it says in the next verse, in him, and we're still talking about Christ, for in him you have been made complete. That's so precious. That tells me that anything I don't have, anything I come up short in, anything I'm deficient in, insufficient in, incapable of, he's got plenty of it. So I can never say that anything that's a part of God's will for my life, I can't do. Because he's not expecting me. He's not giving that responsibility to me to do it. He just wants to be released to do it through me. And then I get to get in on it. In him, I'm complete. Anything. See, all those inabilities and insufficiencies that I have, that's all right. That's all right. He has plenty of all that stuff. And I don't have to get all bent out of shape, scared to death. If it's a part of his plan for my life, he can jolly well do it. And will, if I let him. So we want to let him clean us up and fill us up.